I'll be reading James 5:16 through 18. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops.
There are approximately 40 one another statements in the New Testament. A few of those are negative, but most of them are positive. Love one another, which we have just sung about here this morning, is the one that is most frequently used. But all of these one another statements teach us, I believe, a couple of things. Number one, they are an admission that we need one another. We are all a part of the body of Christ. We have different personalities, different gifts, but we need one another to grow strong in our faith. But number two, it takes time to build meaningful one another relationships. It does not happen overnight. But if we will all invest the time and the effort and the energy, the result will be a stronger body of Christ. Well, let's take a look at a few of the one another statements found in the New Testament. Let me put your minds at ease. I will not attempt to cover all 40 of the one another statements. I thought I heard a thank you. Who said that? But I'm sure you are appreciative of the fact that I'll not try to cover all 40 of the one another statements this morning. But I want to focus on 6 of these one another statements. Number one, we need to care for one another. Paul in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 25, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. Now, chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, beginning at verse 12, is all about the body of Christ. Paul reminds us that we are one body, but each member of the body is important. When one member suffers, we all suffer. When one is honored, we all rejoice. And that is emphasizing the mutual care and concern that we are to have for one another. But number two, we are called to bear one another's burdens. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. As Christians, we think of others and how we can minister to them when they are going through a difficult time. Bearing one another's burdens. And Paul says, by doing that, we are fulfilling the law of Christ. Number three, we are instructed also to be kind to one another, forgiving each other. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. So the call for us to practice kindness, to have a forgiving spirit, is what Paul is stressing there in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. And then, as I indicated, the one word that is used with more one of the statements is the word love. Love one another. 1 John 4, verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. You remember Jesus said that this is how the world will know that we are His disciples. by the love that we have for one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. One New Testament writer called it the badge of discipleship. By this, all will know that you are truly disciples of mine by the love that you have for one another. And then, number five, we are to encourage one another. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 is a familiar verse, but not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Our coming together is one way that we stimulate one another to love and good deeds. But it also provides an opportunity to encourage one another. And we can all use that at points in our lives. Amen? Encouraging one another. So whether we are together here in our assembly, in our Bible classes, in our homes, in smaller groups, we are able to be a source of encouragement to someone. And that is the important thing to keep in mind, is that we are called to encourage and to edify and to build up one another. And however we can achieve that great purpose, then we want to do that. But in our worship, of course, we encounter the living God, the loving God. But we also have this opportunity to edify, to encourage a fellow believer. And hopefully, we will be able to engage one who is seeking to know more about God and His Word. And then, we need to pray for one another. That's what our text told us to do this morning. Yes. James 5, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. So James instructs us to confess our sins to one another and to pray for one another. Now that means something to a brother or sister in Christ, knowing that they are being lifted up in prayer. I came across a little piece called The Pit. A man fell into a pit and couldn't get himself out. A subjective person came along and said, I feel for you down there. An objective person came along and said, it's logical that someone would fall down there. A Pharisee said, only bad people fall into a pit. A mathematician calculated how he fell into the pit. A fundamentalist said, you deserve your pit. An IRS man asked if he was paying taxes on the pit. A self-pitying person said, you haven't seen anything until you've seen my pit. A charismatic said, just confess that you're not in a pit. An optimist said, things could be worse. A pessimist said, things will get worse. Jesus, seeing the man, took him by the hand and lifted him out of the pit. That's Jesus' people. We need to help people out of the pits of life. I pray that we here at Regency will continue to care for one another, to bear one another's burdens, to be kind to one another, to love one another, to encourage one another, and to pray for one another. If you need to respond this morning, either through faith, repentance, baptism, or if you need to come back and rededicate your life to God, we would invite you to come as we stand together and sing our song of encouragement.
The last 6 to 9 months, our shepherds have been meeting pretty frequently and looking at several different things as to our times of assembling. And right before the school got out for the summer, We had a couple lessons, and we looked at several different things. In the last discussion that we had, we looked at the three purposes of assembling. And those were to worship the Father, to encourage and build up one another, and to bring the lost to Christ. And as our shepherds, as we've been examining these three, and we've met with our ministerial staff here, we've looked internally to see, okay, which of these three do we feel that we need to improve? And unanimously, we felt like the two areas that we really need to focus on were to encourage and build up one another and to bring the lost to Christ. And while we always can look for ways and need to look for ways to improve our worship time together, we did want to explore, okay, what options for meeting could we create a better environment to encourage and build up one another and to create an environment where we can easily invite others from outside the congregation to study. So then we surveyed our congregation here, and we explored the survey results, and we wanted to explore the ways that we could really improve those weaknesses. The surveys expressed a variety of preferences. Many who only attended on Sunday mornings wanted to keep our assembly times the way it was. But those that currently attend on Sunday evenings expressed a mixture of preferences, but overall a desire to do something different. So the shepherds have decided that we will do a mixture of options on Sunday nights. However, this mixture will be on a regular schedule, so we'll know exactly what that schedule is. We'll know how to prepare for that and each week know what we're doing. We feel that this mixture will provide better opportunities to encourage, to teach, to get to know, and to build up one another. I appreciated Alan's lesson today where we talked about those one another things, and we that is what we are discussing. But also we want to create a comfortable environment in order to invite others to study and to learn God's Word. And sometimes the way we do corporate worship does not always make it the most comfortable for someone that hasn't experienced these things to just readily come in and feel comfortable. So we want to present to you our schedule that we're going to be doing, and I believe Russ has a slide that we're going to put up here. But starting in September, the first Sunday night of each month, we will all meet here at the building. During this time, we may have a traditional service, and we may have a mixture of some of the other suggestions that were made. For example, tonight we are having a mission report about the Bible program that we do every year, and we're going to learn more about that. But we may have a Bible class, or there may be service opportunities, or it may be a traditional service on that first Sunday night of the month. The youth will also have a Devo on this day as well. The second and the fourth Sunday nights of the month, we will go back to a little bit more of what the early church did and have smaller life groups meet. There will always be at least one group meet here at the building every Sunday, those second and fourth Sundays, and it will meet at the traditional time for those that prefer to meet here at the building during that time. All the groups will have the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper for those that missed that opportunity. The third Sunday night of the month, we will continue to have our praise night to focus on singing and learning new songs. Enjoy that time where we teach and encourage and build up one another like we talked about today, but through that singing time. And then every fifth Sunday of the month, we will have either a fellowship time or a family time. Different times of the year, those fifth Sundays usually fall about once a quarter. And different times of the year, depending on when it falls, we may do either a fellowship time or a family time. Additionally, starting in September, we will have a Bible hour time during the Sunday morning sermon time, in addition to the Sunday night Bible hour time on the first and third Sunday nights. I know several of you, and through your surveys, expressed an interest in continuing those Bible hour times, and so we will on the times that we meet here at the building, those first and third Sunday nights. But we will also add a Bible hour time during the sermon time for those who have children 2 years old through elementary that would like to participate in that. So our children will worship together with us through the Lord's Supper and during that psalm before the sermon, starting in September, they can be dismissed if they would like to participate to that Bible hour time. Miss Liz and Miss Lori are excited about the opportunity to help our children get more out of this time, but also allow their parents that time to get more out of this time. This time I'll turn things over to Mark, who will elaborate a little bit more about the life groups.
I want to express my appreciation for Jimbo and Marvin and David, along with Alan and Andrew, for the time and effort that they have put into the planning for this, the discussions, the weighing all of the information that we've been able to obtain from the congregation in order to make informed decisions. You know, it's easy, it may be easy for those outside of our congregation, and perhaps even easy for some within our congregation to make a comment or some conclusion, come to some conclusion that these things are just being changed for the sake of change. And you'll hear that little tagline in a lot of instances when things like this are discussed. You know, change for the sake of change. Well, I want to assure you from the bottom of my heart, and I feel like I can speak on behalf of the eldership when I say this, that is not the intent or the purpose of what we are talking about today. And if you hear that, I would hope that you would, in a kind and loving way that we discussed this morning, dispute that. There is a great deal of purpose and intentionality involved in what is being discussed today. This is not in any way simply trying to, you know, shake things up or trying to differentiate ourselves for the sake of being different. These things have been thought through in a way to do all the things Alan spoke about this morning more effectively within our congregation. And we hope that in doing these things more effectively, we will grow our congregation and we will see the influence that we can have in our community grow because of these decisions. Are these decisions perfect? Who knows? We pray that they are, but it's up to God to make the ultimate decision about how we all accept it and to then implement it and then see the results from it. But let me tell you this. If it appears as we proceed that the decisions that have been made and the plans that have been implemented are having adverse effect or reverse effect to things that we intended, they are not inflexible. They are not entrenched. And we will continue to evaluate those the effectiveness of these things as we go forward and expect there to be tweaks and changes Even as David said, we may tweak and change the format of this night or that night just to make sure that we're keeping up with what we feel like will be more effective. So I want to make sure you appreciate and understand that there's been a lot of thought go into this, and there's going to continue to be thought. We're not simply throwing this out and saying this is the way it's going to be, take it or leave it, and it's the way it's only going to be, and we'll never change it from here. We may change it. We'll just have to see how it goes. It is our purpose and our intent for our groups that meet in smaller numbers on the appointed second and fourth Sunday nights of each month. It is our purpose that these groups will engage in a number of things. One will be prayer, intense and personal prayer for the concerns that the people in the group have, neighbors, friends, relatives that need that prayer. It is our intent that they will spend time in fellowship with one another, obviously, attempt to try to get to know one another better. That's a main component of this effort. And finally, it is our intent that they will spend time in study. Not just random study selected by the will of the group. We plan for this to be an intentional pattern of study that each Sunday night, the topic of the groups that meet will be the same topic and in more in-depth study of the lesson presented Sunday morning. And this is going to be headed by Alan and Andrew and others, you know, as we go forward. But those who speak on Sunday morning will be doing so with the intent that on those Sunday nights, the small groups will delve deeper into that topic and that course of study to give chance for discussion. Additional passages can be looked at that can be done in Sunday mornings. It's our intent that this will have a plan. It's not going to be random. So that we will get deeper into the Word. And that time will be spent in these groups. It is our intent that these groups will take advantage of space here at our building, if that's what the group wants to do. It is our intent that the groups can meet in homes, if that is what the group wants to do. We need to have leaders and co-leaders of these groups, and we intend to recruit those and have started that process. But need those who are willing to coordinate. We're not asking you to teach, preach, or become a scholar. We're asking you to coordinate the study as Alan and Andrew help us coordinate that study. And we would hope that as these groups become more comfortable with this process, that the discussion will get deeper, the opportunity to invite those from outside in will grow greater, and that eventually the groups may grow so large that the group has to divide into two groups in order to accommodate the number. That'd be a great problem to have. And in doing so, we would see the results being all of us coming together on Sunday mornings for our worship time together. And so where the groups will meet is kind of a decision we're going to leave to the group, whether they utilize space here at our building. The exact time that they meet could vary from group to group, depending on what the group deems is best for their circumstance. The children are going to be involved in the groups. The family members of each group member, your whole family should be involved in the group, whether you've got small children or teenagers or college kids. They're expected to be part of the group if they are part of your family. And we're not asking for the co-leaders and to take on the entire burden. We hope that the members of the group will come to an agreement on how to share the burden of hosting and the fellowship part of that. And that can take any number of ideas as well. If you want to meet at a time where you want to share a meal together, that's great. If that's not what your group wants to do, once y'all coordinate what your time to meet is, then that's fine too. We're not going to dictate that particular aspect of it. What we need now, going forward, is for each member to prayerfully consider participation in the groups. And we're going to provide you the opportunity to sign a list that indicates that you would like to be part of one of these groups. We're also going to give you the opportunity on that list to sign that you would be willing to lead or co-lead such a group. And then over the next several weeks, the next couple weeks here on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, that list will be compiled and we will evaluate the people who have expressed an interest in participating in this program on the second and fourth Sunday nights of each month. And we will go about the process of training before September leaders who will then be tasked with coordinating with their group. We anticipate that these groups will be flexible, although they may coalesce around ages and similar life circumstances. We anticipate that that's not going to be the deciding factor of who gets to participate in one or the other or like to be in one or another. We also anticipate that as this program evolves and grows, that we would be able to, shuffle the groups from time to time, periodically, every other year, every year, every other year, some program that we can establish for the intent to get people who don't know each other as well to be in a group perhaps with others that they don't know as well and get to know them, know who they are, know something about them that you may not pick up coming and going from Sunday morning. And so that is how we anticipate the life group program working. That's a very short definition, description of what we hope will happen, but I hope that it explains our thoughts. Again, we're not going to have a Sunday night where there is likely going to be a group meeting here at the building. That way, if there are visitors who happen to come through town and they want to be here, there's going to be a group meeting here that can greet them, welcome them to Mobile, have them take part in the group discussion that night while they're passing through. Or in any group, we'll have the opportunity for those who want to participate in communion to do so within their small group. And we will have that provision made that can be taken care of. So just to answer a couple things that immediately sort of pop up from a logistics standpoint. We want you to take this opportunity to evaluate your interest in doing this, in participating with us in this. We hope we get 100% participation of the members of the congregation in a small group. Based on the percentages that we watch as we track numbers throughout the course of months, weeks, in the year, if we could get 50% of the congregation participating in a small group, it would be a tremendous blessing. I would like to think it'd be more than that, but we'll shoot for 50% of the congregation participating in the small groups. And that would be probably 25% more of the congregation than we have currently participating generally on Sunday nights. So that would be an increase of almost 100% of our current participation on Sunday nights. We just got 25% more of the congregation involved. That's sort of our thought. We think this is a start, and we're going to see how it goes. And we have studied other congregations. We have studied other methods and means of doing this. I want you to know we've reached out to many places looking for information, and we think this a mixed plan for our time together on Sunday nights will work for us. And we want you to engage in it and be prayerful about it. And we're excited. We are very excited about the possibilities that this holds for our congregation. So I'm going to ask that as each of you leave today or as you come back in the next week or so, consider signing the list that indicates your willingness to participate. And we will be compiling those lists over the next couple of weeks, identifying our leaders, and then training those leaders for our kickoff, which will be the second Sunday night in September. There are a couple other things going on before we dismiss today that we want to bring to your attention. If you have not signed up to give blood Wednesday night, there's still time to do that. That is on the Welcome Center out front. Please consider participating in the blood drive Wednesday night. It's a value to our community, and they really appreciate when they come here the participation that we've had in the past, and we encourage you to do that. I also want to take just a second to put a plug in for the fall. Our Sunday morning Sunday school classes will obviously be starting back up in the fall. We've had some great classes this summer, and I want to, just for the adult Bible study hour on Sunday mornings beginning in the fall quarter, Jimbo Jordan will be here in the auditorium teaching an adult class. Alan will be in the fellowship hall teaching an adult class, as I appreciate it. And I want to make a special appeal. In the spring, we engaged in a study in the fellowship hall class on the Holy Spirit and grace. And I am going to go back through that study with the group that meets in the back in the multipurpose building room. If you want to call that Young Marriage, you can call it Young Marriage. That's fine. But I want to encourage anyone who did not participate in our class in the spring that would like to engage in that study to come back into the multipurpose room for the fall quarter and talk about the Holy Spirit and how that subject involves the grace of God. I feel like we got a lot out of it in the spring, and I look forward to presenting it again back there if you have an interest in that. With that, if everyone would stand, we'll have a closing prayer, and Andrew will lead us in a closing song. Father, as we gather today, we pray that we will truly love one another, that we will truly be kind to one another, encouraging to one another, and that we will engage with one another in the efforts that we have here at Regency, the opportunities you have presented before us in our community and around the world to spread your word, that we will engage with one another to reach our friends and relatives in the community, that we will implore them to consider where they are, where their spiritual life may be, and that we will encourage them to make the commitment they need to make to you. We pray today that you will bless the efforts of our congregation, that you will see what we are doing here at Regency as effective, that you will bless the work that we're doing. We ask for you to be involved in it. We ask for you to help guide us and lead us in the ways that you would have us go. And as we engage in this new format and schedule for how we're going to meet together, we pray your blessings on that program. We pray that it will lead to the type of connection that we pray that it will, that it will make us dig deeper into your word. It will allow us the opportunity to invite others in to study. It will allow us to grow closer to one another as we all attempt to grow closer to you. And we ask for your blessings in all of this, and we lift before you those we've mentioned today in need of our prayers and need of your healing. And in any way that we can be used, please use us up as we leave this place today. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.